Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Today we have our special episode, Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, led fearlessly by our good friend and colleague, Miss Bonnie Buell Russick. How are you this morning?
I am good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm well rested, excited about the weekend, but particularly interested in today's segment. This is going to be a good one.
It certainly will be. We tried it. We specialize in good ones, actually. So today we are actually going to be talking to Heather Wright, who has her own law firm called The Wright Firm, which is a general civil law practice. It includes corporate representation and consulting, commercial litigation, family law, alternative dispute resolution, and she works with a variety of different types of companies and individuals, and she's going to get us all knowledgeable about when and how and why and all that, why we should, you know, consider hiring attorneys. So, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Knowledgeable, I think terrified is more like it. Usually when I speak in public to business owners, they start freaking out about all the stuff they need to do.
Yes, I'm sure. And, you know, often when by the time somebody gets to you, they're already in kind of a bit of a sticky wicket, could we say?
Yeah. Hey, I've got an emergency. I got served with a lawsuit and it looks like the answer is due tomorrow.
Yeah.
kind of day.
That sort of thing actually, I think, frightens and keeps up any sort of business owner. So, you know, kind of going to want to talk about a number of different things. But I guess the first thing is, being a small business attorney that works with small businesses, when should these small business owners think about hiring an attorney?
You know, I often talk to people as they're starting their business. Certainly, as you mentioned, if they have an emergency situation or someone's threatening to sue them, it'd be smart to get some information and, you know, talk to an attorney about what the claims could be. But yeah, when a small business is getting started, you know, depending on the type of business, there are so many things that could affect a small business, how they structure themselves to begin with, whether they're an LLC or an Inc. Do they actually understand what the idea of an S-Corp is versus pass-through LLC status for taxes? What kind of contracts they need? Most businesses, you know, I always get the question of, well, just tell me the three contracts I need. And I'm like, it depends on your business. It depends on, you know, what you need for the type of business you have. So a lot of times I get one or the other, which is I'm starting a business. What do I do? Or I just got served with this lawsuit. What do I do?
Yeah.
So,
well, how do you, you know, most people when they're starting a business are not necessarily flush with a lot of cash. I can talk from experience on that level about
<too. laughs>
being really rather poor when I started my business. You know, the first thing is, well, you know, I can figure out this, you know, how to start my own business thing on myself, or I can go to LegalZoom or whatever, you know, online option might be available. So, you know, how do you overcome that objection when money really is an issue, you know, and people feel attorneys are expensive a lot of times?
Well, certainly attorneys are not cheap. That's for sure. And it's sort of the concept of, you know, your grandmother would tell you an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure. I think a lot of times people are very intimidated by lawyers. Sure. You know, they're very intimidated by the cost of attorneys. There are a lot of affordable, decent lawyers in and around, certainly a place like Metro Atlanta. There are a lot of lawyers who work with small businesses. A lot of times, you know, for startups, I budget certain things and flat rate certain things depending on what they are. And I think a lot of business lawyers do that. I think you've got to ask those questions. What's your pricing? What does it cost? Will you consult? What would it take just to help me set up and get some general advice? Do you do a consulting hour with me? What would that cost? And every lawyer does it differently. There's no set standard for how lawyers do things. Most business lawyers, people should know, bill what we call hourly billing. So they're going to charge you a certain amount of dollars per hour for work that they perform. They'll set budgets sometimes, depending on what you're asking for. They'll provide estimates sometimes, depending on what you're asking for. And, you know, you've got to think through, is it better to have an expert that knows what they're doing or you dabbling. What I tell a lot of my clients is they're experts at what they do. So whether it's running a fitness facility or running an accounting shop or running a veterinary practice or a podiatrist, or I've got so many, a dog training school. I mean, business, the actual business is the expertise of the client. What the lawyer is supposed to do is really help that client know where their liabilities are, how to protect themselves, how to make sure they get paid. That's the kind of contracts where we wrap contracts around things like protecting them from liability and making sure they get paid. You know, I get the question about LegalZoom and the internet all the time. And I can tell you that some of the worst contracts I've ever seen in my life are when people go out on the internet and they pull from this contract and that contract. And it's what I call the Franken contract. And the problem is that the law, we have what's called terms of art. And so we have these words that mean stuff to lawyers because of thousands of case laws. And as they say in My Cousin Vinny, our little old ancestors in little old England. So there's all these words that mean things. But the problem is that regular people who haven't had the experience of having their brain completely remodeled in law school don't understand what those words mean. And so they go on the internet and they pull this provision from this contract and this provision from that contract. And, oh, this looks good. And, oh, well, I just pulled an NDA off of the internet. That's a non-disclosure agreement for those who don't know. And they create this Franken contract. And the problem is sometimes those provisions actually conflict. They don't mean what people think they mean. And they've had a client sign that. And instead of paying a lawyer, maybe let's say something that'll sound expensive to a lot of small business owners. You don't want to pay me $1,500 to draft your NDA and maybe a non-compete with your employee or to review a contract you have with a vendor. Well, that's great. But then when you end up in a lawsuit because they're not paying you and you don't have $6,000, you'll think that $1,500 was pretty cheap. I've had some Franken contracts that were so awful, they couldn't be enforced in a court of law. So then you're relying on common law, which is like looking at a bunch of cases and doing a bunch of things. And the problem is that's really expensive litigation. You get into arguments about who said what when instead of having a document that actually says what the parties are supposed to do. And that's really bad. The other thing I'll say about internet companies like LegalZoom, which, you know, people can choose what they want. It's a market economy. I get it. Is I have an office that I go to. And if something goes wrong, trust me, clients show up and ask questions. We can meet. I have a bar license that's managed by the State Bar of Georgia, which means that if I do something that a client doesn't like, they can actually talk to a third party and that third party can say, hey, what's happening, Ms. Wright? What's going on? When you deal with people on the internet, you don't actually know that those are lawyers that are actually doing the work. They could be outsourced to any country in the world. I don't know what LegalZoom and some other companies that do those kind of things guarantee or don't guarantee, because lawyers actually don't give guarantees. We're not allowed to by the ethics code. But I personally, I'm a business owner. Bonnie, you're a business owner. I like doing business with people whose hand I've shook and I can look in the eye and I can go to their office and I can have recourse if something goes wrong. That's why I don't love those things. I think that the service that regular lawyers give, if you negotiate a price with them, they'll give you good service. So I'm not a fan of it. Now, granted, I mean, I know that's my competition, but in a way, it's not my competition because the way I do business is by knowing my clients and knowing their needs and being efficient. And so to me, the kind of person that's going to buy something off the internet isn't necessarily the kind of person that's going to be my client.
Right.
Right. We deal with the same thing. The kind of person that's going to do the crowdsourced logo is not necessarily the type of client that we're, you know, there. That is an option. And yes, they are out there, but you know, we actually look at the branding of the company and the big picture.
Or my niece is like a good artist. So why don't I, you know, and she's coming down this summer. So right. I'll have her do me a logo.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I get that all the time. Well, my cousin, the lawyer, said blah, blah, blah. And you know, what kills me is when you deal with someone one-on-one and a lawyer, you know, part of what I'm being paid for when people say, oh, lawyers are so expensive. I know some people's worst nightmares. I know things that I can't tell. I have several friends that are actually in ministry, and we kind of joke that our jobs are very similar because there are people in my life who are good friends who I know their worst dirty laundry. One of the things you're paying for is, one, confidentiality, but two, you know, once I agree, and maybe this is how I look at it, I know a lot of lawyers that look at it this way, good ones, I'm walking through whatever that storm is with that client. Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving until we get a resolution. And these storms can be your business falling apart, your family falling apart, custody issues, whatever it is. And if I don't have the resources, I know lawyers who do, if it's something that I don't do. But, you know, you want that. You don't want, well, I was at a cocktail party and I know that you told me this about my divorce, but my cousin's lawyer's sister's brother's kid is in law school and they said that you don't know what you're talking about. And sometimes I just want to, my head wants to explode because I'm like, well, they don't know all the facts.
Well, yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like listening to people knee-jerk something on the news. If you don't know all the facts, you don't know what's going on. It's hard to have a really accurate opinion about something.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole, like you said, the ounce of prevention is so much better than a pound of cure, I would say. That is frankly the reason why, you know, I pretty early, not at the very beginning, I will admit that, but, you know, pretty early on, you know, I made sure that I had an attorney that, and Heather happens to be it, that, you know, and
it's a great endorsement. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. Well, she's awesome. And I have been very fortunate in that I have needed very little legal help. We've had the one situation where I needed some help for sure. And the others here and there are contracts and things, but you know, I feel so confident that I know that I can call you up and, you know, I think all business owners should have that sort of relationship. And, you know, the goal is to not need an attorney very often, you know,
right,
but,
right.
You know, if I'm ever in a situation where I do, you know, I can kind of sleep at night. And I think that's where a lot of business owners kind of cut corners and don't necessarily say, you know what, if I ever need an attorney, I'll find one. And generally, if you're ever in that sort of situation, finding one is a challenge and finding the right fit.
Right.
And then also, you know, you're kind of over a barrel generally at that point, and it's not necessarily the best situation to be in.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I don't think people realize is I am a big proponent of getting any kind of expert by referral or someone that you know. Depending on when you're over a barrel and you're in the situation of my business is about to go out of business or I'm being sued by my biggest customer and if I don't get paid, I'm going to be filing for bankruptcy. The problem is you have a tendency to get referred to somebody and look, every lawyer can answer questions in different ways. What the law says and what's smarter to do is very, sometimes very different. You know, I get that question of, can they do this to me? Well, yeah, they can do this, but what's a better strategy? How do we get your business out of this? And so I don't say that to say that you know, lawyers give inconsistent answers. I say that to say lawyers have inconsistent personalities. And so sometimes what I tell business owners is shop for a lawyer early on when you're not in an emergency, because you're trying to develop a relationship that also works for you. Like the person needs to have your mindset. If you're an incredibly litigious, argumentative person, number one, you should definitely have a lawyer because you need
you
someone that's going
to
help that.
Too.
Yeah. But number two, sometimes incredibly litigious people need an incredibly litigious lawyer. They're not going to be happy with someone who's not super litigious. And I've had a couple of clients that we have parted ways and I've referred to other attorneys because, you know, they're business owners and I'm telling them, look, this is going to cost you more. And they don't, it's sort of a damn the torpedoes mentality of, I don't care. I want the other side to suffer. I'll pay. And look, that's great for the lawyer, but it can be a miserable practice between the lawyer and the client because, you know, that person wants to harm the other side. Courts don't let you do that anyway. I mean, it's kind of silly if you're a business owner. So I always tell people, look, find somebody that's been referred, that's used them before, that's happy with them. Develop a relationship early on. Say, okay, I've had people do this. You know, Bonnie told me that you're a good lawyer. I'd like to come in and just consult with you for an hour about my business and see if there's anything I need right now, but I'd like to have a relationship in case I ever need you in the future. We sit down. I tell them, you know, honestly, you don't need 15 contracts. You need these three to protect you. You know, you got to remember lawyers are selling a product too, and you need to be a wise consumer when you're buying that product. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is personality driven. You got to have somebody you trust. Most of my business clients that I've had for a long time, they know that they actually have my cell phone number. I can be driving to court and get a call. Hey, I'm about to do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. And we talk through it. We develop a strategy in 15 minutes that probably saved them, you know, I don't want to sound like Geico, but 15 minutes can save you $15,000. You know, hey, I'm about to fire this employee. Should I do blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why don't we back off of that position just a little bit and handle it this way? You know, business owners should be savvy about how they use their lawyer. And I think good business attorneys that deal with, you know, businesses that go from small to medium to large, those lawyers work with those clients to develop those kind of systems mm-hmm. where they know that they can call and have some recourse.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, the call that I would like to be able to make to you extends beyond that to, you know, maybe I need financial professional services. I would like to have the latitude to call you, and then you say, well, yeah, you ought to be talking to Bob based on what I've learned about your business and your personality. Stone, you and Lee ought to, you know, talk to Bob. Is that part of the way that you operate?
Absolutely. In fact, I have a new client that I can't go into the type of business she's starting, but the first thing that we realized is one of the biggest challenges for her business is going to be insurance. Well, I have an insurance brokerage that I've worked with that I've referred other clients to. And I said, you need to call them. And she sent me an email within 24 hours and was like, oh my gosh, they're experts. They're awesome. I want to use them. And it's not like I'm getting some kind of kickback, but I think part of what you're trying to do when you build a business is what you guys are doing here with Business Radio X. It's what Bonnie does with her, but you're building a community, right?
Yeah.
And so if you know good people that you can refer for things, you know, I don't necessarily get business back or not. I'm just referring people that I want to help a client. I know when I have lawyers refer me things, I'm especially careful. The lawyers I know are especially careful when I refer them things. And that way you get to someone good, because the average consumer doesn't know if someone's a good attorney or not.
Don't even know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
Really, we don't.
No, and it's crazy because honestly, I think one of the reasons that I've been very successful in my own practice, which I've had almost 11 years, is that I'm real honest with clients right from the start. You know, I develop a rapport, but I'm also not talking to them in a fashion that they know that I'm competent, but they also know that I'm personable. And lawyers can be really intimidating to quote unquote regular people. You know, it's kind of funny that I get the comment constantly of, I wouldn't have guessed you were a lawyer. I knew you were smart, but you didn't come off like a lawyer. And I'm like, well, I kind of sometimes think we just give ourselves such bad press. But I deal with a lot of small business people, and I deal with a lot of family law cases. And you've got to be more personable. You've got to recognize that you're talking to human beings, and you got to find a way to tell them how to do it. I mean, one of the reasons I always like jury trials is the challenge is trying to take something that's, you know, turned into such a dispute that it's going to be before 12 people who would rather be at their jobs, and you have to tell a story. Well, you got to do that with your client too. And most of the clients that come in, they don't know how lawyers work. They don't know what to do. You got to talk them through that. And a lot of it is personality driven. And there's a lot of lawyers that wouldn't deal with the clients that I deal with because they don't want to deal with, you know, quote unquote, regular people. They want to deal with large corporate entities that are used to having lawyers. And it's kind of funny. You just don't realize that in certain contexts, you have to find the right fit. And I think with lawyers, people a lot of times need to find the right fit.
I have to agree with that, being that we're in the business of helping lawyers market themselves. That's one of the things that we are always telling our clients, and new, old, and everything else, is that, you know, a lot of times it really does come down to the personality of the attorney, whether you're going to get hired or not, and whether it's a good fit. And communicating that in your marketing and your bio on your website and various things like that is so important, because sometimes, believe it or not, decisions come down to, oh, wait, you know, you're a Texas X, so am I, woohoo, you know, so, and the assumption is, in most cases, that most attorneys that are recommended are qualified. So
most
may not. Well, and like I say, it may not be true.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times those of us who start businesses, our knowledge of attorneys at that point in our lives is likely what we've seen on TV, you know?
And, right, and right. Which that is totally inaccurate.
Completely inaccurate. And it's always in a courtroom, and everything comes, you know, down to, you know, a litigious court situation when, you know, probably most cases it's, you know, sitting down looking at a contract or things that are much, much less sexy than what you would want to see on TV.
Yeah, no, it's not sexy. Let's be honest. And frankly, honestly, you know, I have a slide that I always do when I teach at the SBA. I do a seminar for SCORE called Business Law 101, and I have a slide that says never litigate over a principal. Now I'm talking to business owners there. I mean, family law cases are a little different. Once you're in court, you're kind of stuck and you got to do what you got to do. Although, you know, you got to treat those cases a little differently with some compassion too. But with businesses, 90% of the time, especially small to mid-sized businesses, you don't ever want to go to court. It takes too long. It's your money that's being involved. You're spending money on your lawyer. The aggravation level alone is huge. I had a guy call me that actually had attended one of my SBA seminars, and he had gotten some advice from another lawyer. And he's like, I liked you and I wanted to kind of get your opinion because I wasn't sure. And, you know, it wasn't a client. We just kind of talked through the problem. But it was one of these situations with an ex-employee that had done some stuff that he shouldn't have done. And, you know, they're arguing back and forth. And it wasn't over a lot of money, but it's a lot of money to a small business owner. And it was kind of funny because he's like, I kind of just feel like this would aggravate me forever. And I was like, I really don't think you're ever going to get anything out of this guy financially, which is really the recourse in civil court is money. We have other things like stopping people from doing stuff or making them do stuff. But for the most part, you go to civil court, you want money. And I said, I don't think you're ever going to collect. And I'm going to tell you, you think you're frustrated now. You wait till you get a judgment and you've got it framed on your wall because you can't ever get paid on it. I said, that will piss you off every day for the rest of your life. I said, you know, there are other things to take into account when you're making decisions. Now, there are lawyers who'd be like, yeah, you should sue him and because you have a right to sue him. And, you know, the contract says this and blah, blah, blah. But if you can't ever collect, you got to think strategically as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where some people get scared. If you're not talking to the right type of lawyer or you don't match with their personality in terms of how they look at the world. You know, I tell clients, I'll tell you when it's time to sue somebody or when we get rough with somebody or we start having, you know, more demanding letters than just your normal, this is what's going on, this is what I want, this is how much it's going to cost you kind of thing. You got to think more strategically. You can't just run to court over everything. Because if you're doing that in business, if you're a small business, you're going to go out of business.
Well, and I think sometimes while it's very difficult, you kind of have to swallow your pride and say, all right, you know what? Let's just get rid of this.
Right. And that's where the relationship, I mean, you call the show Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. I mean, if you don't have the trust between you and the lawyer, when I have to say to a client, I know this sucks, but this is what we're going to do. And the lawyer's got to be willing to give that kind of advice. You know, I tell clients all the time when we're on the phone, you know, and I could tell you probably 10 clients that could confirm. I'd be like, I'm not retiring on this one case.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to retire on one case. I want to help people and I want to help people through disputes. And, you know, you're entering a world in the legal system that you really don't know anything about. And whether it's family law or trademark law or employment law, whatever it is, you're entering a world that you don't know anything about. And so if you don't trust your lawyer to give you really good advice, then, you know, you're not going to make that call when it's something embarrassing. Or, you know, I'm dealing with a business dispute right now where the company's going out of business because we've just got to shut it down. And it's between family members. And It's bad as bad gets. And it's just, you know, you've got to make the hard decisions of saying, nope, you got to walk away now. I know it hurts. I know it's awful. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of client management that goes into that. And if the client doesn't trust you and you're not giving the client good advice and standing by the client, then that's a bad situation to be in. And you know, like I said, telling business owners every 5 minutes to run to court, that's just silly. It really is. A lot of things can be worked out without going to court.
Well, talk about that a little bit. And that, you know, we've all heard the words, you know, arbitration, mediation, alternative dispute resolution, all these. And I guess I think there's a lot of confusion among people as to what exactly they are and when is right to use each situation. Because, I mean, in some cases, going to court is the answer and is what you should do. But based on experience and what it is you're saying, those are pretty rare cases. What are the other alternatives that people should consider?
Well, here's the thing is that a lot of business owners should recognize. Number one, when you go to court, a judge or jury is going to decide. And that's going to take months and months and months and lots and lots of money. Lots of money. And it's not just the lawyer. It's the other side filing a bunch of motions. You cannot control the situation at all. I don't care what anybody says. Litigation can become a free-for-all. You pay for deposition fees. You pay for court reporting fees. You pay for printing fees. You pay for court costs. There's a lot of money. Mailing, whatever, service, everything. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Okay, so alternative dispute resolution, which has been around for centuries, is either arbitration generally or mediation. And you'll hear other words like cooperative mediation, or, but it's basically separated into two categories, arbitration or mediation. Now, these things are not generally provided for in civil court. Now, in family court, people get ordered to mediation all the time because the judges really want the parties to agree between themselves. And mediation is, I'm a huge fan of mediation and arbitration. In fact, I'm a registered mediator and arbitrator for the state of Georgia. So, you know, I'm a huge fan because parties can kind of control things a little better because these are private systems. Now, a business owner needs to know that courts don't require this unless it's in the contract you have with the party that you're disputing with. So one of the first things that I do when I review a new business client's contracts is we often add, my preference for the most part is mediation with my clients. And I'll explain the difference between the two in a second, but you know, you have to add that provision in. That ADR provision has to be added into the contract, whether it's contracts with your vendors, whether it's contracts with your customers, whether it's contracts with your employees and or independent contractors. You need to add that provision in if you want to have that as an option. Now, the difference between arbitration and mediation is arbitration is kind of what I would call court light, which means someone else decides your case. The arbitrator or potentially an arbitration panel, they decide. So it's still like court where you do some discovery, which is the process of getting information from the other side. You exchange documents and things, and then the arbitrator or arbitrators decide your case. You present the case like a trial, and they decide your case. The problem has become with arbitration to some extent, or the challenge with arbitration is it works really great in certain very large industries. For example, the construction industry uses arbitration a tremendous amount because they're large contracts, especially in commercial construction. And there's some private entities, for example, the American Arbitration Association, which is not a governmental entity. It's a private for-profit corporation. And these entities provide arbitration services. There's a ton of local arbitration services in Atlanta that are actually more affordable than other arbitration services. And so you've got to shop that around before you put that specifically in your contract. But arbitration, you go and you get put straight into a process. There's generally procedures and rules set up for arbitration, or the parties can agree. And it's kind of like court light. So you're still doing a lot of work. You can still have a lot of fees. There can be motions and other things. It can be cheaper than court, but sometimes it can't. Now, the upside is it's private, and you can get an opinion from someone, and it can be binding or non-binding, which means you can stick to what the arbitrator says, or you can agree that one of you could go to court if not. I personally, with my clients, I prefer mediation. It's just because it gives the clients the option. So what a lot of times I put in their contracts is that if there was a dispute regarding any of the terms of the contract, then the parties would agree to mediation, either with a mediator or a private mediation service located within what XYZ of Atlanta or what have you. Generally, we agree to split the fees. So here's the thing. If you go to mediation, the parties can kind of decide whether they're going to exchange anything or not. They go to mediation. Generally, in my contracts, I typically say that they split the cost of the mediator unless they decide otherwise during the mediation. Sometimes the parties will agree, hey, I'll pay for the mediation. We got this settled or what have you. And the mediator then helps the parties reach a resolution. So the mediator, we call it caucusing. A lot of times they'll put one party and their lawyer in one room and the other party and their lawyer, multiple parties. Everybody sits in their own room, so they don't have to stare at each other. And it's a really good process because the mediator can know things that everybody doesn't know and can kind of help the parties reach a resolution. And if the parties agree, then they enter into a settlement agreement, which becomes a binding contract. It's enforceable in court. And it's all done privately, and they can reach a resolution. And there's some good things that can happen that actually can't happen in court, like venting. you know, sometimes a party just needs to tell a third party, like a mediator, well, you know, they did this and they stole this and they did that and blah, 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 blah. Now, it's a mediator, as a lawyer, a lot of times they're going to be thinking in their head, well, that wouldn't matter. That's irrelevant. That's not going to come in court, which is great because the mediator can look at the party and say, well, if you presented it at court, how much do you think that would come in? Do you think that would switch? Because judges don't care. Sometimes the party just wants to say, that guy's the biggest SOB in the world and I hate him and blah, blah, blah. So there's this wonderful venting that can happen, which I can tell you never happens in court.
There's a therapeutic element. It's almost like you're wearing some sort of like therapist hat as well as attorney hat, and people just get to get this off their chest.
Right.
And then hopefully can come to a reasonable decision.
Which is a great part of mediation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, it's a great way to go for businesses. And then you can typically have in your provision that if they don't decide, then they can go to court and they haven't waived any of their legal rights.
Right.
And blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. So the cool thing is if you put that in your contracts, you've also done some what we call free discovery, where if you've done mediation before anybody's filed in court, then you actually kind of know the other side's position if you were to have to go to court. So you've gotten a little free information.
It gives you
too.
A leg up if you do wind up in front of a judge or
Correct.
A jury.
But it can save you a ton of money because if you think about it, you're only paying a mediator to be in the room. You know, you're paying your lawyer to prepare whether you go to court, arbitration, or mediation. But if you're only paying a mediator and you're splitting that cost for a day and you get it resolved, your life has moved on. If you're in court, you can't control when a judge can hear things. You can't control when you can get on calendars. You can't control when you can follow up with certain things, whether the other side files 18 motions just to screw mm-hmm. with you. I mean, there's 1,000 things that can happen in court.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds like that would be a very good thing to have in contracts. And again, another reason to have a lawyer help you draft them up.
Well, a lot of people just don't understand that things like mediation provisions or arbitration provisions and things like attorney fee provisions are not, the law doesn't provide for those things in civil disputes unless they're in your contracts. For the most part, there's a very small exception for frivolous litigation, but I've seen a lot of frivolous litigation that a judge would never decide was frivolous. So my level of frivolity and a judge's are very different. Anything that costs my client more money, I find incredibly frivolous.
Your tolerance for, yes. So, you know, we've covered a lot of information here. And before we wrap up, I would love to hear, you know, what are the top 3, 5, whatever mistakes that you see business owners making? And, you know, what should they be thinking about? You know, either starting a business or maybe you're in kind of a transition point where you're going from, you know, a solo provider to hiring people. You know, what do you see and what advice do you have?
I would say first, the biggest thing with a startup is not getting some expert advice to start and recognizing your limitations in the sense of if you don't know what you're doing, really sit down with a CPA for an hour and say, can you give me information about this? And pay them because mm-hmm. you may come back to them. Sit down with a lawyer who does stuff and comes highly recommended and say, I want to run through this with you. And what should I do? What kind of contracts do I actually need? Do I need a single member LLC doesn't need an operating agreement necessarily. Who are they going to have meetings with? So, but if you're going into business with your BFF, and we're going 50-50, you need an operating agreement like you need oxygen.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, there's different things for startups, and I think they need to seek the advice, and they need to just suck it up and pay the money. Just suck it up and pay the money. Trust me. With ongoing businesses, I see a lot of mistakes with people who say they're hiring independent contractors, but they're really employees, and they don't understand that the IRS and the Georgia Department of Revenue take a very different view of who's an employee and an independent contractor. And so having a good independent contractor agreement is a very, very good thing. I see a ton of mistakes with folks who just literally don't know how to deal with disputes of any type. I think one of the things that as I've practiced more, I realize just generally lawyers who do litigation are generally very comfortable with argument and disputes because we do it all the time. When the other attorney gets mad at me sometimes, I find it fascinating because I'm like, I'm paid to disagree with you on this point.
Yeah.
Like my job here is for us to reach compromise, but I'm kind of supposed to disagree with you. If you're the kind of person that's very dispute adverse, then you need a lawyer sometimes to help you when an employee is you know, telling all the other employees that they need to quit, or, you know, you've got a dispute with a vendor or a payment dispute or whatever it is. If you're naturally, you don't like and run from dealing with disputes, I mean, you're going to have disputes in business. Stuff's going to happen, and you need to kind of know how to deal with that. And if your personality is to either avoid it or to just fight back, you know, vigorously, then you might need somebody that can deal with it on a little more intellectual level and have some compassion and kind of talk you through it. I see that mistake a lot. But, you know, a lot of it is just not knowing when to ask for help. I think that's the biggest thing. And worrying about the cost, I'm just telling you, it costs people so much more money to not get help. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, it does. And to ask those questions, like, how much are you going to charge for this? And, you know, can I pay you on a payment plan or what, you know, talk to the lawyer that you're hiring them. I have clients who apologize for bothering me. And I'm like, you're the client. Yeah. They're like, I know, but my problem's so small. And I'm like, well, call me now before it turns big, you know?
Right. And in some cases, people, it's funny how people are uncomfortable talking about money as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I don't, you know, they're a big, fancy, important person and I don't need to like bother them. It's your money. You should ask. Absolutely. You know, what can I expect? And they may not be able to answer exactly, you know, you're going to pay, you know, $453.12.
Right.
But, you know, but having an idea of that so that as a business owner, you can plan, and it's a reasonable thing. You know, I mean, this is business. This is what we do. So
now the flip side of that is also assuming that your lawyer doesn't want to get paid because they're quote unquote rich.
Yeah.
I jokingly mention that to the lawyers I know all the time. I'm like, did you get the money tree at graduation? Because I didn't get the money tree.
Yeah.
So I work for a living, even though I'm a lawyer and people think you're fancy, which we're not. I'm so not fancy. It's not even funny.
So do you ever bundle legal services with your karate instruction? We didn't talk about the karate.
Actually, thing. Yeah. That's
no.
Yeah. Heather is a black belt. You're not teaching.
I'm not
now,
teaching currently. Right? I had an injury for a while after getting my black belt. So, but no, I still love my folks at the karate school. They're great people. Mm-hmm. No, karate actually taught me more about not wanting to fight. Because you learn very quickly that you could hurt someone, if they were to try to hurt you. But, it actually taught me a lot more about how to not fight. And how to seek a better way, believe it or not. I know that sounds all zenny to some people, but it's so funny how so many of my clients are like, well, she's a black belt. And I'm like, please stop saying that out loud. Because then people think I'm just going to be, you know, overly argumentative for no reason.
Well, and that's what we had to change in your bio, actually.
That's actually true. That's actually
this is,
true.
And it was, you know, this was years ago that we wrote it originally. But it was kind of like, you know, Heather can, you know, not only kick ass in the courtroom, she can literally do that. And, you know, I mean, it's an interesting talking point. And it is the kind of thing that I do encourage people to put in their bios because it does give you a point of conversation and something to talk about outside of I served in this court and I,
yeah,
but it is core,
as I understand it, and I don't know anything about it, but as I understand it, this approach to finding the middle way, kind of that is really core to the karate discipline, isn't
yeah.
it?
Well, there's kind of this just notion, you just really learn very quickly that, I really enjoyed sparring and actually trying to match yourself against someone, especially a lot of times someone who's significantly more trained than you. And the bottom line of it is you learn to appreciate what you can do, what they can do. And it's kind of a natural, I don't want to ever have to hurt someone. I have the capability of doing that because of the training that I've been into, but I don't want to do that. I want to find a better way. And it's not something that I think we talk about in a, you know, in the karate school. I think it just kind of naturally happens. It's actually really funny because when people talk about the whole black belt thing, it's so funny because the black belts that I know, and I obviously know several, are literally the most kind and I'll compassionate bet. People, mm-hmm. humble. You learn humility really fast when you think you're going to punch somebody in a sparring match and they beat the tar out of you in about 3 seconds. And they're just some of the most compassionate, thoughtful, humble people. Most people wouldn't imagine that they're black belts. Most people would be like, oh my, because the perception is that to get that level of training in anything, in any discipline, not just karate, that someone has just gone off the deep end. And it's kind of funny. They just become, a couple of the black belts that I know are just some of the, I mean, honestly, I can't name one from the school that I attended that's not a tremendous person, just kind, loving.
They're more Mr. people. Miyagi than like the bad guy in that movie.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, anybody that tells you to finish somebody, it was funny that because yeah. like the 30-something anniversary of that movie was 2 days ago.
So
and so
old.
And so, it, yeah, I know, right? And so one of my friends actually posted the scene at the end of the original Karate Kid movie. And it was just so funny because I'm like, yeah, I know there are schools like that. And if your children are in that school, you should remove them immediately because all they're being taught is how to be a bully. But, you know, karate and martial arts training in general, it really does teach you a better way. The truth is, a lot of the very thoughtful litigators that I know, they really try to get their clients to a better way, whether it's in family law or civil law, you know, commercial disputes, you've got to see a bigger picture there. You've got to see that your client needs something else. It's like I tell my family law clients, I'm not going to destroy your co-parent. That person's still raising your children with you. And as much as you hate them right now, get some therapy or something because we're not, now doesn't mean we're not going to provide for parenting time, doesn't mean we're not going to figure out the finances, but I'm not going to destroy your co-parent. If you want a lawyer that's going to actually try to embarrass that person and destroy them and call them names in court, there's a very famous lawyer in Cobb County who is deceased, God rest his soul, but he used to call people whoremonger. He is famous for this in Cobb County. If people in Cobb County attorneys are listening to this, they will know exactly who I'm referring to by me saying that out loud. I can't bring myself to do that to somebody who's co-parenting, you know, with someone. You're going to have to raise those kids, see them at every wedding, every graduation ceremony, their birthdays. You can't do that. So I think that's one of the things I learned from martial arts was, you know, it's kind of like, man, I could fight you, but I don't want to. Let's figure it out. Which is why I love ADR and mediation. You know, you've got a better process. There's times to fight and there's times not to. And hiring the right lawyer, you got to have somebody that's got good judgment to know when that is if you're a business owner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there are some business owners, I'm like, no, this is a case where we sue them. But, you know, a lot of times you're saying, no, let's try this or let's try this or let's try this. And what I tell people is, you know, I hate to use another old 80s movie reference, but I always joke that it's kind of the roadhouse rule of, you know, I'm the bouncer. I get to tell the client now it's time to kick them out kind of thing, you know? So yeah, I just think that's the interesting part of karate. It's so funny because the black belts I know are such awesome people. It's just so funny when people tease me about that. I've actually had clients say that to an opposing party. Well, my lawyer is a black belt. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please stop saying that out loud.
Oh God.
That doesn't help us get this settled.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, I think we have learned a lot today. I have personally, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to come here. Is there anything, you know, tell people how they can get in touch with you and, you know, share your contact information and we'll...
Sure. My contact information, I'm in Buckhead in the Resurgence building. Very easy to find, conveniently located to MARTA. It's actually
over.
In our building. The train passes right underneath my office. My number is 404-924-2858. You can call me or you can find me online with a fantastic webpage that BBR Marketing has created, www.therightattorneys.net. We just look for helping people. And if you got any legal questions and you don't know if you actually need a lawyer, I just tell people, just give me a call. Cause a lot of times you may or may not. And if I don't do it, I know good people that do it. So, I love referring stuff to my friends if I can. So absolutely just give us a call and I'm always happy to answer questions. Cause I think that's part of what we should be doing as lawyers. I mean, we're in public service to some extent. So I really appreciate you guys having me on today. Thank you, Bonnie.
Oh, absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Nicely done, Miss Bonnie. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Bonnie Buell Russick, our guest today, Heather Wright, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.